And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico. And we're on every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, although we weren't on last week because we, as in me, we was on vacation.
You was?
He means I was, but you said we.
Right, and I said we because I mean me.
Oh, man, here we go.
Just never mind. Anyway, welcome back to the program. It's me, Phil Hendry. And, you know, like I say, I'm very happy to be back. We took the week off last week. Yeah, we took the week off last week. Visited Bubba the Love Sponge, my good, close, personal pal down there in Tampa Bay. Almost talked to Liz Wilde, who is also a radio veteran and another great friend. It's funny, you know, when you start talking about the people that you know in the business. And there's so many people I've always said to people, I never make friends in this business.
Well, yes, you do. You make girlfriends.
Yes, I make girlfriends in this business. I'm kidding. Well, sort of.
Yeah, that's the only reason why you have a girlfriend in a business is because...
Shut up, bud. You know, if I'm going to talk about my life, I'll talk about my life. I don't need you to do it.
No, you're going to say that, though.
What?
You know what you will say?
I said I don't have friends in this business, except girlfriends. I'm saying I'm kidding. I do have friends in this business. I just don't really think of it from time to time. I'll say, well, no, I never make friends in the radio business because being in radio is not, it's not like being in a war in the literal sense. I would never even go so far as to approach comparing it to that. But from a psychological standpoint, when you make a friend at a radio station, people are getting fired so much in this business that suddenly they're gone, you know, and you never see them again. And radio is kind of like that. One minute, you don't really want to be too close to people because the next thing you know, they're up and they're gone and they're down a road. They're working another station someplace. But so in talking to Bubba and talking to Liz, it was cool to talk to those guys because... You know, we actually rapped about things other than radio. Although with Bubba, we were talking about radio. He's got a great, man, that cat's got a great setup down there. Man, I'm going to tell you what. He's got it going on. And he is all self-contained. I got to love a guy like that. In other words.
What does that mean, self-contained? You know, Phil, in the, you and the rest of you Bo Brummel types, you think you're going to get it done without the radio technocracy. I say you can't do it.
Well, I'm telling you, yes, you can. What is it with you with that speech thing?
What are you talking about?
I saying you can't do it.
I'm telling you, you can't get by snubbing and thumbing and do... What are you doing when you do it to the nose?
You're snorting.
Not snorting.
You mean thumbing.
Thumbing. You're thumbing your nose at the radio establishment. And don't think I didn't see what you twitted out or whatever when you said that radio has contempt for talent.
Okay, Margaret, let's not, you know, can we not do this?
Yeah, you're the guy that said it.
Thank you, bud. You're the one that said it.
All I said was the following thing. It was nice to see Bubba's setup, and it's nice to see anybody in our business that is taking the bull by the horns, if you'll pardon the expression.
What's not dirty about that?
It could be dirty.
Yes, it could be dirty. That's why I said, pardon the expression. It's nice to see in this day and age of the entrepreneurial spirit, real entrepreneurs, not just people talking about it, and especially in our business where the large, you know, these large, whatever you want to call them, Margaret.
What are you laughing at?
Well.
Don't say it, okay?
Penis?
What did I?
Ow! Ow!
Yeah. These large companies. Yeah, they're there, but they don't control everything as they used to. And so there's a lot of guys that are being, like I said, the entrepreneurial spirit has grasped them. So going down there and watching Bubba's operation, this cat's got everything going. He's all self-contained. He's got his merchandise going on, man. He's got the satellite dish thing going on himself. He owns a piece of property where they do video casts. They do a lot of video production with a lot of goofy stunts that they do. He's got, post-production. He's got all kinds of staff of people that are cutting up tape and sending out best ofs all over the freaking universe. Guy's got the satellite room, you know, his Griggs room where he's got all of his cabling. Everything is beautiful. He's got that setup, man. He's got a place where he does his show, and then there's a setup for bands that come in that are playing in town,
and they give a live performance.
Yes.
Are they paid?
Yeah, this is how they're paid. They're given exposure.
Well,
Yeah, that's not...
Yeah, it is, okay? If you're not the biggest band in the world and you get a little exposure on morning radio, and he's got a network of stations, and then they have something there at Bubba's studio, which we got to have here. Whether or not we use it on the video cast, I don't care, but we must get it. And it is a shower, an all-glass shower, so if you bring in an audience of people, they can sit and stare at two naked girls taking a shower.
Yay.
Outstanding.
You got a video camera?
Well, that makes me want to... I can taste the throw-up.
What's it taste like?
What I had for dinner, if it's any of your business.
What'd you have?
I had taquitos. Do I have to...
Never mind. What did you answer him for? You had taquitos.
Yes, it tastes like taquitos mixed, well...
With liver bile.
With liver bile, yes. You can laugh if you want, Phil, but I don't want to hear about this.
Well, then, Margaret, put your fingers in your ears or whatever you want.
La, 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 la.
Good. So, yeah, he has a setup where you can actually say to two women, would you mind going in there, stripping down naked and taking a shower, and then we'll just turn the cameras on? Oh, but not at all. Thank you. You're welcome. And then you just, you know. So that, to me, that's the future. That's the way to go. Now, is it porn? Maybe. See, one of the... there's a million things I could tell you guys about. All right. So we did that. Like I said, I saw a house down there I want to buy, and my good close personal friend Liz Wild looked into it for me, and she said, not a problem at all, Phil, $1.2 million. And I said, I may look rich. You mean I don't? I can tell you that I are rich, but not that rich. I'm rich in soul and in mind and in the poetic, the love that I have for the universe, but I ain't about to lay out that kind of jack unless I sell my house right here on the sunny coast, and I head down there to the sandbar that is Florida. So Debbie Daly is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes to talk about that. She does her show, and is doing her show, I should say, all this week from Miami.
Debbie Daly?
Debbie Daly, the only hearing-impaired morning show host in America. She does a morning show for public radio, Daly's Daily, and she's doing it all this week from Miami. And I asked her why, and she said because she had miles.
Well, she's got some miles. Oh, for God. She's got miles left on her American Airlines.
What are you upset about?
You weren't supposed to say that. You were supposed to say, well, she's in Florida because there's a very...
There's a what?
A story.
What story?
Phil.
Luther got a cover for her.
So she's down there on vacation, she's using up some miles on her American Airlines, and I'm supposed to pretend like there's a big story going on down there? What's the big story in Florida?
Not really anything there unless somebody set fire to some, and then you have one.
What did you just say?
What is he talking about?
Yeah, there's no big story in Florida unless someone set fire to it.
So somebody, he's saying if there was a brush fire.
If there's a brush, well, great. No, there's no brush fires. Anyway, Debbie Daly be coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Man, I can be gone for a week, I could be gone for a month, I could be gone for a year, bud. You don't make any more sense today than you did over a week ago. You know that?
Yeah, well, neither do you.
Neither do I? When I sign my name on the check, does it look like my name or...
Well...
Uh-huh. All right, we're going to come back here with Debbie Daly to talk a little bit about the Florida experience, the Miami experience. This has got nothing to do with Florida, but it's a state with similar weather, Hawaii, and there is a sex superbug that has broken out in Hawaii. So, in other words, those animals over there, whatever it is you guys are doing, do you mind using some soap after you... I'm kidding. We'll find out what it is when we come back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Go down there and see everything.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Woo!
So you do, huh, Debbie? Debbie Daly joining us from Miami here this evening on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Debbie is hearing impaired. However, she's understandable. It takes, I know, Bud, you have worked with her.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Margaret, do you understand Debbie?
I do understand Debbie. I don't know that we want to play it up too much because Debbie is on the radio.
Okay. She does a morning show for public radio. She's in Miami right now and is traveling to a benefit for her at one of the hotels there in Bal Harbour. And Debbie, it's great to talk with you. Glad for you. Glad. First of all, we're very proud of you. Speak up, dear.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right. And we're very happy that you joined us.
Well, I'm really happy to be on the program, and I, you know, I hope that whatever we can do, and this is amazing to be on your show.
I wanted to ask you about, we were talking about Florida and broadcasting in Florida. I know you're originally from there. Is that why you're visiting?
Well, I'm down here because I want to take a look at the real estate opportunity, because the real estate market coming back, you know that?
I heard about that, Debbie.
Yeah, and the real estate market coming back, and I guess, you know, me and him, not him.
Well, the real estate market coming back in Florida and a little bit in California probably portends good things for the rest of the country, but... by the way, you're doing the show from where?
Well, we're doing the radio right now from WBLO or BLU.
WBLU?
Yeah, I know.
Your kid brother works there? Our guest is Debbie Daly from Public Radio. She is hearing impaired. So that's why some of you may have, although I know I wasn't supposed to say that.
Yeah, their contract.
Well, you know, you're making me do that, but you're stipulating that.
Say that again, dear.
And you stipulated.
Yeah, she stipulates that you don't bring up the fact that she is hearing impaired.
Exactly, and I apologize.
Okay.
Debbie Daly with us, though, from Public Radio. She's doing Daly's Daily. It's very late for you to be up, and I appreciate you getting up for us.
Well, you're not convenient.
That's what he said?
Yeah, you're not Daly Martin.
Oh, that's cute, dear. All right, that's what he said. What preceded that again?
You're really getting up for us.
I said, we're really glad that you got up for us. That's what he said.
Well, I mean, we don't mean that.
Well, I see saying it's sexist to say that's what she said, but it would make more sense, wouldn't it?
No, I'm not even bringing it up.
All right, we won't bring it up. Debbie Daly is our guest. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and we'll take some calls for it. Now, Debbie, my other question for you has to do with Rush Limbaugh. We're going to read this story. The question here is Rush Limbaugh to blame for the falling ad rates? Now, I know you work on a public station, so you guys don't have to worry about advertising so much. But to the extent that you're familiar with that, what do you think?
Well, you know, I really think you run Limbaugh, you know, and the chicken's coming home to roost.
Yeah, the chicken's coming home, home to roost, yeah.
And so I think it was Rush Limbaugh, you know, and then I really think the chicken's coming home to roost.
Well, darling, other than the chickens coming home to roost, what do you think? So when you say that...
Well, what I really mean is this. When Rush Limbaugh is talking on the right-wing stadium, people will be upset with him, you know?
People will be upset with... Well, you're calling his political point of view right-wing fascism.
And you heard me right. I don't stutter.
I'm sorry?
I don't stutter.
No, I know you don't stutter, and I did hear you, but I...
Oh, God.
Are you laughing?
No, he's not. He sneezed.
I just sneezed.
Because if you're laughing, it might lead to another stipulation.
What? Excuse me, what, bud?
Yeah, if you're laughing, that she just said it violates a stipulation.
Yeah, I know it violates a stipulation.
Nothing?
Yeah, I'm here. We're having a little bit of a... no, I understand that the two stipulations are I can't laugh at you, and I would never. I would never. I want you to know that.
Oh, God, what a lion.
What's that?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Margaret went...
Didn't you mean a lying horse?
No, she didn't say anything about a lying horse. She was talking about the horse. She was talking about Orb and the...
Yeah, I was talking about the Derby.
Oh, the Derby. You know my dream is here?
What's your dream?
My dream is to jump to... I wouldn't think I'd go with you, Margaret.
Well, Well, darling, aren't you sweet? You want to sing My Old Kentucky Home with me?
Yeah, let me ask you, where are you repeating your damn name?
I'm repeating everything you're saying?
You didn't get any in.
Well, that's... No, that's just... because I'm having a hard time hearing.
Well, why didn't you get your ears here?
You're really...
Yeah, we'll see that she gets her ears checked.
Okay.
All right, Debbie Daly is with us, 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call. Let's go over to Culver City. Hi, Culver City. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Debbie Daly. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Phil. Enjoying your program, usually. But I must say that tonight you're breaking all records for hypocrisy. As you know, I'm not a liberal like you, and... the hypocrisy of having a individual, I was told if I say that certain words, I'll be hung up on. Is that, am I to understand that?
Yes, sir.
Well, okay, can I just say what I want to say without having to, I would like to say what I want to say, ma'am. Are you going to help me? Or?
Yeah, let's just let the gentleman say what he wants to say, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. You know, no one out here in your radio audience can understand a thing that this woman is saying. She's going, you know.
Hold on for a minute, Debbie. Hold on. Now, would you put Debbie on hold?
All right, is she on hold?
Yes, sir, she is. Now, what is the problem?
The problem is no one can understand the lady because she's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know that no one can understand her. I know that you know that. You know that I... You know I can't understand her.
I am not given to understand anything other than the lady does a radio show, so she makes herself understood by a lot of people.
Oh, give me a break! No one can understand her. I'm listening to a cacophony of gibbering, the likes of which I haven't heard since the circus came to town. And I say that with the greatest of regard and respect to all those that labor hard and long in the circus business. And I had a brother-in-law who had a financial interest in the old Kylie Brothers circus. And even he would understand what I'm trying to say to you tonight.
Sir, I have Debbie Daly on the show because she is... she's achieved a level of success, the likes of which I don't think a lot of people have achieved.
Oh, come on. She works for public radio. They're going to put her on the air and say she's successful if she's got two people who are room temperature listening to her. Are you kidding?
Now, well, all right. So what is your point?
My point is the hypocrisy of you sitting there and going, oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. And you can't understand a thing she's saying, so don't tell me that you do.
Really? Then how is it I'm carrying on a conversation with her?
Well, how do you... a conversation? Here's what it sounds like. Oh, well, hi, Ms. Daly. It sounds like that Outer Limits. Oh, man, I hate you so much.
All righty, then.
What do you want to do?
Well, we're going to go back to Debbie here. That's what I want to do. What do you mean, what do I want to do? We'll get Debbie Daly back on the line. Thank you very much for your call, sir. Debbie, I put you on hold because that man was going to be cantankerous. I knew he was. Do you have a comment at all? You're welcome.
That's the truth, Debbie.
You can really go against the man. You can go against Rush Limbaugh. You know, when you start talking about Rush Limbaugh,
when I talked about Rush Limbaugh, what?
That's when they tell me what you're talking about. But you didn't know talking about me. You didn't talk about mumbling, stuttering, you know, even on your mumbles.
Well, he didn't call you mumbles. No, he didn't.
No, I didn't know you.
He did not say that word. He didn't say mumbles. He said the lady.
You didn't say mumbles.
No, I'm positive he didn't say mumbles. He said the lady.
Yeah, but then he goes, yeah, you get back to mumbles.
Yeah. No, he did not. He didn't say that at all. He started crying, and then he said, I hate you so much, and he hung up on us. I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you.
Because the stipulation is, Phil...
I know what the stipulation... Debbie, one final question before we go to our break. I tell you what. Let's just let you go.
I gotta see a man about a dog.
You gotta see a man about a dog. All right. I wanted to ask if you'd come to California. That'd be really great. She hung up. Debbie Daly, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Cut. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show with the superbug of sex in Miami, or excuse me, the superbug of sex in Hawaii, and Rush Limbaugh, the blame game. Are falling ad revenues his fault? And we've been telling you guys about the talk radio business and where it's been headed, and you didn't want to believe me. Well, okay. We'll be right back, world-famous Phil Hendry show. The what?
Phil Hendry.
Yeah. We're going to have the gentleman that just called was Larry Grover from Culver City, Conservatives of Kern County. I've got him and I've got Professor Emery Clayton, and we're going to do a panel tonight, our usual Monday evening seminar, our usual Monday evening roundtable. Tonight it'll be on Rush Limbaugh and the blame game. Are falling ad revenues his fault? That the headline in the article here in the Christian Science Monitor.
That's by Christian Science.
What's that?
What's Christian Science? That.
What's Christian Science?
Yes, it's not. Is that L. Ron Hubbard?
No, that is not L. Ron Hubbard. No, it is not.
Because I saw that picture you took.
I took a pic. Oh, yeah. Bud got all. He was just all jazzed.
I wasn't all jazzed.
Yeah, you were all jazzed. I took a picture of some building in Clearwater, Florida. It's the super building. It's the one that the Scientologists built. And it's been empty for 14 years. It's the most magnificent building I think you've ever seen with nothing going on inside of it, other than the Taj Mahal. You know, that's the closest I can...
Or one of the pyramids.
Yeah, or one of the pyramids.
The Hanging Garden of a Babylon.
The Hanging Garden of a Babylon?
What's that?
Never mind, okay? We don't have to start mentioning buildings that are beautiful that nothing's going on inside of.
What about the Empire State Building? Oh!
What about your head? What do you mean, my head?
Oh, that's real funny. Everybody can it. I'm talking about this Scientology building. I took a picture of it. Now, nearby was a Christian Science reading room.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. That's two completely different religions, okay? One is what that is, and the other is what it is.
Well, what is it?
Which one?
It's not Christian Scientology.
There ain't no Christian Scientology, man. I'm going to start to belt you if you don't watch it, okay?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now, easy, Phil. Sometimes he really doesn't understand what you're saying.
Bud. All right, I'm sorry I yelled at you, okay?
I don't know what you mean.
All right, I know you don't know. Christian Science was started in the 19th century by a lady named Mary Baker Eddy, okay?
Eddie who? What did you say?
Eddie who? Bud.
I don't know.
Don't start bawling and then looking to Margaret for help, okay?
He wanted to... What is her name again?
Mary Baker Eddy. Her last name was Eddie. It ain't Eddie who, okay?
Didn't say Eddie who. Is that her name?
Her name is Mary Baker Eddy, not Eddie who.
God, your name is Mary Baker Eddy. What's with you, man? You auditioned for Kong, the Eighth Wonder of the World? Ow!
I'm going to kick your ass. The Scientology Superbuilding. One is Christian Science. That was in the 19th century, and that was Mary Baker Eddy. And Mary Baker Eddy had her philosophy of life. Don't ask me what it was. It's different. And then Scientology was started by a guy named L. Ron Hubbard. And his whole thing is his thing. And the two are different. Now, the reason why you probably are confused, Bud, is the use of the word science. Science is simply a word that means knowledge. Knowledge. And so you have one religion that uses the word science. You have another that uses a part of the word. But the word represents knowledge or learning. That's why you may think that they're related religions. They're not. In the case of the Christian Science Monitor, that's a newspaper.
That they put out.
Yes. The science...
Now, see, you just messed up.
Scientologists?
No, the Christian Science people put it out. Rush Limbaugh blame game. Are ad revenues his falling ad revenues? Are they his fault? Rush Limbaugh says declining ad revenue at talk radio stations that carry his programming isn't a sign that a boycott against him is working. It may have more to do with an expiring contract. Is Rush Limbaugh's harsh rhetoric to blame for declining ad revenue at WABC and other big radio stations that carry his show? That's what the CEO of the firm that owns those stations believes. In particular, Lou Dickey of Cumulus has said that Mr. Limbaugh's 2012 slut comment about Georgetown law student Sandra Fluke cost the firm millions in lost spots. Now, this guy, Lou Dickey, I got a lot to say about. The reason why I say I got a lot, quote, to say about is that Lou Dickey has, every time he opens his yap, he says something really stupid. But that having been said, Mr. Dickey's latest thing is about Limbaugh with the slut comment. In an investor conference call in March, Mr. Dickey alluded to the controversy again. The firm's talk radio revenues have been challenged due to some of the issues that happened a year ago, Dickey said, according to an account in Politico. Now, this is the same Lou Dickey that wanted to take down Rush Limbaugh by putting Mike Huckabee on the air. And, of course, that worked out fantastic there, Lou. So this guy, you know, this is also the same Lou Dickey who said, well, you know, there's no money in digital. And a month later, he says, we're working overtime to see what it is we're missing about digital because, I don't know, last time I checked, Mark Maron, who has only a podcast, now has a series on IFC, has been featured in the New York Times. The guy's all over the world. He's, you know, he's selling ad time on his podcast. Adam Carolla is selling ad time on his podcast. So, Lou, man, you know, quit talking and start working. I know you're the CEO, but hey, sounds like you're doing too much of the bap, 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 right? Now let's get on here. Larry Grover, he is with Conservatives of Kern County, and we're also going to bring on Emery Clayton. And Mr. Clayton, or Professor Clayton, I should say, is a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. Professor Clayton, how are you tonight, sir?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program.
And Larry?
Phil, before we start, I wanted to say to Professor Clayton, it was wonderful. I met you last year. My daughter takes one of your classes. She was taking a history class, contemporary culture class, I think. What is your daughter's name? It's Mindy Grover, and she lives with her mother, but she is living in the Canyon, in the L.A. Canyon area. I do know Mindy. I'll look her up in class. I think she's still in my class. Yeah, she's got another semester with you, and she says that she loves your class, and I wanted to say thank you very much for that. I will definitely, I thank you too, Mr. Grover. I'll definitely talk to Mindy when I see her. I think she's got my class on Tuesday and Thursday.
I believe so, yes.
Well, that's a nice meeting of the minds there, you two gentlemen. Talking about the education of a young person. And so to that end, let me just begin this, because I know you're both coming from a decidedly different place on Rush Limbaugh and his radio show. Let me start with you, Professor Clayton, and ask you what you think the so-called failure, if you want to call it failure, is of the Rush Limbaugh show. Why the falling ad revenues? Do you agree with Lou Dickey there of Cumulus that his attitude is causing that problem, or do you agree that with Mr. Limbaugh when he says that it's his contract that's expiring?
Can I jump in?
Go ahead.
Yeah, correct. I just paid Professor Clayton, Emery Clayton, a compliment, and you're letting him go first. I have no problem with you going first, Professor Clayton. I just wondered, after I was magnanimous.
Well, the word is magnanimous. If you're asking why you can't go first...
I'm not done yet. Hold on. I was being I'm sorry?
Magnanimous.
I was being magnanimous, and I was wondering why I can't go first.
All right, Mr. Grover, you may go first.
Now, hold the phone here. All right, never mind. Never mind.
All right, thank you very much, Bill. Well, all right, so you wanted to say something, Professor? I'll let you say something.
I was going to say something, but I, in the interest of moving this along, go right ahead.
Well, now I think I look like a baby.
The floor is yours, Mr. Grover. Please take the floor. I'm not going to change again.
Well, that's what, let me start by saying that's what she said. And,
I guess I dropped the ball with that one, too. That's what she said. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, you feel better? No, I do not feel better. When you say ha, 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 do you feel better? In any event...
Please.
In any event, Rush Limbaugh has been the voice of conservatism in this country for many years. Since 1988, Rush Limbaugh has been showing people how it's done. Rush Limbaugh has shown generation after generation of conservative what good, solid, Main Street conservative thinking is. And he's shown generation after generation of broadcasters and talk show hosts how to do an entertaining and informative radio show. And I think it's a sad situation when they can't wait to string him up and watch him twist in the breeze as ad revenues fall. Now, I will tell you that, in my opinion, I think the ad revenues are falling as the result of a lack of initiative and a lack of good hard work on the part of the radio stations and the people that are supposed to sell the advertising. I think things have come too easy for those people, and I think when you have to get out and work hard, especially in an economy that has been given to us like this one by Mr. Obama, then I think, well, you may find that funny, Professor.
I find it very funny, yeah.
But I think that when that's the case, Rush Limbaugh has to rely on this generation of people who are not used to working hard, but want everything to fall in their lap. And when I say fall in their lap, I'm not just talking about money, and I'm not just talking about orders, but the other kinds of things that will fall into your lap, if you know what I mean. And they aren't things necessarily. Sometimes they wear lipstick.
Okay, we get that point. I would remind you, both of you gentlemen, that this is a radio program still governed by the Federal Communications Commission.
I apologize. I will just simply say that life is not falling into people's laps. And I think that Rush, I don't know why I wanted to call him Harvard. I was going to call him Harvey.
Is it my turn?
No, it is not. I still have a few.
Well, your time is up, though, Mr. Grover.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
Here's Professor Emory Clayton.
Thank you, Phil. I'm an educator, and I will tell you that I think what you just heard there from this gentleman, Mr. Grover, was an example of some confused thinking. I'm not going to go too deeply into what I think was wrong with Mr. Grover's presentation, other than to say there at the very tail end, when he could have wrapped it up neatly, you heard him trailing off in a rather befuddled way, going, well, okay. And I think that that is the way that a great many of these conservatives, and I will also say a great many of these whites. Now, I don't want to be racial anything.
No, not much. God almighty, Henry, are you going to do stuff about this?
Hold on for a minute. The man's entitled to his opinion.
That's what my assumption is, that we live in the United States of America, correct? Do we live in the United States of America?
Yes, we do.
All right, then I'm going to say what I want to say, sir. If you don't mind, sir.
Go ahead.
I think Rush Limbaugh is an example of, and I think I just heard Debbie Daly say it, and I listen to Debbie Daly. I'm sorry if you don't understand what Debbie Daly says. I happen to support the rights of people who are disabled. I happen to support the rights of women that are disabled. I happen to support the rights of minority people that are disabled. And so Debbie Daly represents all three. She's disabled, she's a woman, and she's a minority. And if you want to get even more specific, she's not a particularly attractive woman. And so she does not fall into that favored nation status of attractive people, good-looking women. Let me just cut to the chase. Women have got great butts and breasts that will draw the attention of society and eventually allow them a place at the table, at the trough, if you will. Debbie Daly has surmounted and defeated all obstacles. And I think she does a wonderful program. And I agree with her when she says that Limbaugh, the reason why he is failing is because Limbaugh is a slob. He's a racist. And I think that people have grown tired of his bombast and so forth and so on.
Okay, Professor, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll wrap up with these two gentlemen here as they debate why it is Rush Limbaugh's ad revenues are dropping at many of his bigger stations. Is it because of the message, or is it because of the economy? Is it because of what he has said, or is it simply because of bad timing? For instance, his contract is coming up. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You're a white man. Yeah, I'm a white man. So what? So I'm white. Just because Mr. Hendry was speaking religion with Dan Northcraft there during the break.
And by the way, that's one other thing. You're talking like you're all, you know, Mr. Broadcasting.
I don't understand. What do you mean, Mr. Broadcasting?
Well, you know, during the break.
I'm telling you that what I heard Mr. Hendry saying to Dan Northcraft was a simple discussion.
All right, let me jump in here because we have people. We're coming back from the break. Dan and I were talking about Christian Science, and we were talking because Dan was raised in that religion. And we were discussing Mary Baker Eddy, and it had nothing whatsoever to do with what you guys are talking about.
No, it didn't, but it doesn't sit well with me, Mr. Hendry, when I hear you, by your own admission, a man with only a high school education, and you're sitting there and you're all, yeah, Mary Baker Eddy, hey. Boy, that bugs me.
Why does that bug you? Does it bug you because Mr. Hendry knows something you don't know?
No, that's not it at all.
Then why is it?
Why is what?
Why is that bugging you that I was talking to Dan about that?
Because the focus should be on what we're talking about, which is Rush Limbaugh, and what causes him to lose revenue at a time when we need the conservative message more than anything else.
Mr. Hendry was talking during a commercial break, or am I using big broadcasting terms?
Yeah, I think you are, and I think it's not right. Because it makes you sound like you're all in with the broadcasting thing, and I sound like some guy paddling it. Okay, there, I said it.
Okay, are you guys done?
Mr. Henry, I've been done. I'm trying to tell this guy.
You're not telling me anything.
Hold on, Debbie Daly is here. Now, Debbie has something to say to you, Professor Emery, Professor Clayton, and that I think, quite frankly, should be said. And let's get Debbie on the line here. Debbie is in Miami tonight. Debbie, go ahead.
I did not say you had a face that would stop time, Debbie. I said what I did say.
Well, you knew that I was not going home.
What I said, Ms. Daly, I listen to your program. I support you 150%. And I said...
Yeah, but you knew that I was running my minority.
May I just say what I...
No, I want to read the name.
All right, go ahead and reset the table.
That's
correct. That is correct, yes. Yes. I did not use the word ugly.
To be fair, he didn't say ugly, Debbie. What do you mean you'll get to me later?
Oh, my God, you just sounded like a man. What is that supposed to mean, one of us has to?
Because I mean when you're doing, and you're an idiot.
I don't think he said you were ugly. He said that you were not the classic big boobs and butt thing, that you were, you know, I think he was paying you a compliment.
Absolutely, I was trying to pay you a compliment by saying that you don't walk into a room with your big breasts and your butt looking... Well, all right. What difference does it make what I like? I'm saying that you are all woman. You are a woman, Ms. Daly, that has overcome so much. You've overcome the stigmata of excuse me, I happen to be a professor of urban studies. That doesn't mean what?
What's she saying?
The she's right. The word is stigma, not stigmata. Stigmata is a religious...
All right. You have overcome the stigma of not talking good. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. What is it called? Verbally impaired. I'm sorry. You've overcome that. You've overcome the fact that you've got a... Man, you ain't good to look at. Hold on. What I'm trying to say is, when you walk into a room, Ms. Daly, you command the respect of all people there. You're not walking in with big, huge... Jeez.
You're not helping your case here.
I know that. I'm trying to make a point. Boy! Oh! You hear what she called me, boy? Didn't you? I didn't say you had big boobs out of respect for you, and you call me boy? You can't call me boy. Just because you're verbally impaired doesn't mean... Man, I'm gonna... Oh, I wanna hurt.
All right, hold on, okay?
No, I ain't holding nothing. If I hold on to anything, it's gonna be the back of her head as she...
Thank you. We'll be right back. That's very uncharacteristic there.
You called him boy in here. You're going to be in trouble.
Take it easy, bud. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, my God.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
A lot of stuff to report tonight, obviously. Over the weekend, late last week, news that Jeff Hanneman, the guitarist for Slayer, died of liver failure. This was big news all over Twitter, I can tell you that. Huge news among the Gen Xers that grew up in the world of metal when metal became mainstream. Before that, it was, of course, Led Zeppelin, and it was Black Sabbath, and probably... bands that were a little bit more marginal than them.
Not about Viper.
Yeah, Viper. This is Raining Blood, dude. What happened to Seasons in the Abyss?
Oh.
This is Seasons in the Abyss. No, this is Raining Blood. Anyway.
Now, which one is the guitar player?
That'd be the one playing guitar.
Don't be a smart-ass, Phil.
What do you mean, which one's the guitar player?
It's the guy on the guitar.
I know there's a guitar... Is that him right there? All right, right there.
What? Oh, you mean the guy that went...
Yes.
Yes, that's him.
See, this is why I think there's drug use, because...
Just hold on. So anyway, Slayer, Jeff Hanneman was a driving force in that band. Now, Jeff Dowder is going to join us.
See, he's singing about wizards and...
Yeah, so as you sing about a wizard, so what?
This is exactly the thing that causes these parents that aren't cool... to want to drag these bands in front of the courts of our country and accuse them of eviscerating the minds of the... Never mind.
Margaret, when you got on a roll there, you just gave up.
Yes, I'm giving up because I'm just listening now.
All right, so anyway, Slayer, Jeff Hanneman. Now, I don't want to play the whole song because this is a talk show. It's not a music show.
Well, I think it should be a music show because I think in so many ways... Would you tell him...
What you doing, bud?
Yeah!
Turn it down, will you, you freak? Slayer co-founder Jeff Hanneman's death from liver failure on Thursday is still something of a misery... of a mystery. Boy, there was a Freudian slip.
Yes, that was very indicative of you believing that his death was a misery. Well, it is a misery.
Yeah, so I guess it's not a Freudian slip.
What's that?
It's a Freudian slip it's something that Freud himself...
Who's he?
Man, you don't know nothing, you know that?
Yeah, do you know who Freud is?
His name ain't Freud, man, it's Freud.
You?
Yeah, he's a what do you call, a marriage counselor.
He wasn't a marriage counselor, you boobs. He was a psychiatrist. God.
Psych? What do you mean a marriage counselor?
Well, I'm like MFCC.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? One minute you're yelling at him, the next minute you're agreeing with him. MFCC? Sigmund Freud? That guy was it, man. He was the founder of modern psychoanalysis. Well, he's one of them. But he's a heavy hitter. What do you mean a marriage family counselor? All right, so in the story we have here, if you guys will just shut up for 5 seconds, Slayer co-founder Jeff Hanneman's death from liver failure on Thursday is still something of a mystery, but that hasn't stopped fans from speculating as to why his liver failed when he was only 49. I don't know. Booze has something to do with that. Hello? What do you mean only 49? You know, it's very interesting. Sometimes you're only 49 or you're only 60, and other times you're, well...
I've never heard anyone say only 60.
Yeah, me neither.
All right, so you're only 49, and sometimes you're like, you're Grandpa Moses if you are 49. One of the more dramatic theories making the rounds on Twitter and in the media is that it was a spider bite 2 years ago that led to an infection and ultimately to his death. And of course it was on Twitter, and of course it was making the rounds in the media, so it has to be true. Not so say experts. The spider bite was alleged to have happened in 2011. It was then that Hanneman had been sidelined from performing after contracting necrotizing fasciitis, commonly called the flesh-eating bacteria. Good God!
There's something that's almost eerie about a guy in a metal band, you know?
Yeah, it's just... Maybe they got... Well, I better not say.
What?
Maybe there is something to the contact with a demon.
What, man? What are you talking about?
No, but I don't think so.
Well, there's a guy in a metal band, and he gets a flesh eater.
I do mean it just because he's in a metal band.
Yeah, so he's in a metal band. What, do you think he's contacting Satan or something to make his music cool, and this is the trade-off?
Could be. He might have sold his soul to the Satan, and that's how he's going to be good.
Sold his soul to the Satan, and that's how he's going to be good.
Yeah, I don't stutter.
Well, no, you don't stutter. You don't think too good, but you don't stutter. You mean he sold his soul to the devil so he'd have a successful band, and the devil is now getting it back in flesh-eating bacteria?
Maybe. You never know. When I saw that one show, Damn Yankee, what you said was about a devil, that lady's face was trucked.
What is that idiot talking about?
Talking about the ugliest lady. Remember in Damn Yankee? Ah, forget it. Let me get Jeff Dowder on the line here. Jeff is a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. Part-time. He's also the member of the band Dark Horse and has been one of the founding members of Dark Horse now since the founding of Dark Horse. Which, how long has your band been around, Jeff?
Dark Horse was founded in 1996. In the summer of 1996, myself, Toby Bowe, Jim Capu, Daryl Upridge, Daryl Upridge is no longer with the band. We had a fall. We had a parting of the ways musically. And he was replaced by Stoney Brown, and Stoney now plays bass and accordion.
Now, bass and accordion.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, well, you gotta have an accordion player.
So what, man? You ever heard of Zydeco? Oh, sorry.
Well, all right, so Stoney Brown... Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you wanted me to talk about Jeff Hanneman, man.
Yeah, I do. I just wanted to find out about the band.
Okay. You mean my band?
Yeah, Dark Horse is... Your band, Dark Horse, has been around since 96. You've had a lot of personnel changes. The reason why I'm talking about this is because I wanted to know, have you had anything as tragic as a member? You know the old joke, you know...
Yeah, like Spinal Tap, when the drummer had spontaneous combustion?
Yeah.
No, we've never had that. We've never had any band member die in our band. I mean, I don't doubt that a lot of them have gone on, have left our band and then have died. Maybe, I don't know, but I haven't gotten word on it.
Do you stay in touch with your ex-band members?
Do I what?
Do you stay in touch with ex-band members?
Do I stay in touch?
Do you stay in touch with guys that are no longer in your band?
I'm sorry, man. I'm having a hard time understanding that.
What?
I'm sorry.
You don't understand what I'm saying?
No, do I stay in touch?
Do you still communicate with guys that are no longer members of your band?
See, I know you said it really slow, Mr. Hendry.
Oh, my God.
But in saying it slow, I forgot the first part of it. If you'd say it fast enough, I'm sorry.
Do you... I got to ask something, Professor Doubter.
I'm not a professor. I just teach part-time mechanical physics.
Mechanical physics?
No, mechanical physics. Hello?
Mechanical?
I'm sorry, mechanical. You're right. I thought there were two... There's two classes.
Are you telling me that there's a class called mechanical phil...
Mechanical phil?
Never mind, okay? I'm going to kill somebody.
Hey, Mr. Henry, I know how you're feeling. I had that kind of a day myself. It's Monday. You know what they say about Mondays? Rainy day and Monday always gets me down. And if you want to talk music, I remember when the Carpenters did that song, and I thought it was a Native American, like a rain dance or something, you know? I didn't know what it was.
Why is that?
Because I thought it was called Rainy Day and Monday. They were two dudes. Rainy Day and Monday always get me down, meaning there were two dudes that would come around and bum this chick out. Okay, you know, do you want me to carry the show?
No, I mean, we're stunned here tonight. Some of the stupid crap that I'm hearing for a Monday, and on Monday it usually is pretty dumb, but man, it's real dumb around here.
Yeah, I noticed that, Phil. And when Bud walked in the room, I noticed it got dumber.
Ha-ha, that's real funny. Yeah, it's a rip-off of the Simpson.
Of the what?
Of a Simpson.
Of a Simpson. The guy said when Homer walked in, he said, did it just get fatter in here?
I mean, do you still want me to do the report?
Yes, I do. All right, so, did it just get fatter in here? My question is this, Jeff. Forget about the question I asked about if you're still in touch with guys in the band. You've not lost any band members to any kind of disease or car crash.
Oh, no, we have not in the 20 plus years that, oh, not 20, in the 10 plus, in the 15, in the 16 times 15, 17 years since we've had Dark Horse, we have never.
How old are you, by the way?
I'm 27.
So you started the band when you were 10?
Yeah, pretty much. I was 10, maybe 11.
Were you professional?
I've always been professional.
No. Were you playing for money?
Yes, we were. Yes, sir, we were.
I'm not a sir.
I mean, I'm sorry, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, we were.
You were playing for money at the age of 11?
Yeah, we were playing like we did two church... I remember that year was a pretty good year for us because we did the St. Arabian... they had the St. Arabian picnic, and we played that, which is a Greek Orthodox church that my mom belonged to and my aunt belonged to, and we played that. Then we played two pool parties that year. So, yeah.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking these questions, you're not supporting yourself at the age of 11 with the money you were making in a band, were you?
No. I mean, we were getting $5 a guy or something like that, but still.
All right. In any event, Dark Horse was the band. Tell me about this other group, because you had good friends die in another band, and I couldn't... Margaret told me the name of the group. What was it again?
Oh, that was Sweet Bacon Wrapped Venison. There were two guys...
Now, hold on. That was the name of the band?
Yes, I thought that that was on a menu.
No, that was the name of the group, Sweet Bacon Wrapped... You know, Mr. Murray, I have to tell you...
Sweet Bacon Wrapped Venison.
That's correct, yeah. I got to tell you, you have to sort of just... except what I'm saying, because the guy that died in that band was a very, probably one of the best bass, played a seven-string bass. Have you ever heard of that? No.
Seven-string, I've heard of a six-string bass.
Yeah, but no, this is a seven-string bass. He was one of the best seven-string bass players that I'd ever heard. He played a French horn. He was a wonderful musician, you know, and when we talk about Greasy Costello and we talk about the things that he would do...
Is that his name?
Yeah, Jerry Greasy Costello.
Greasy Costello.
That's what he was known as, yeah.
Got Greasy Costello in a Sweet Bacon Wrapped Venison?
That's what I just said, man, yeah.
Yeah, I know their music.
You do know their music?
Yeah.
So this guy, Greasy Costello, played a French horn and a seven-string bass.
Yes, sir, he did. And he died from polio and died. So it's kind of, that's kind of exotic thing, you know?
Well, there's nothing really exotic about polio. That's just damn sad.
Yeah, well, who gets polio anymore?
Well, not a lot of people, but he got polio. I thought you said that somebody in the band died from something real weird, real far out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there's another guy in the band who is not that band, but there was another guy I heard had died from the measles. Is that the one you're talking about?
No.
And Ringo Starr had tonsillitis.
No, I'm not talking about him either. All right, we'll take a break. Thank you, Jeff. We'll be right back with more on Slayer and more on some of these other disturbing stories tonight, including those three girls that were found by a neighbor. They'd been kept locked up, kidnapped, hidden away for years by these three pervs in Cleveland. We'll be talking about that. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass now.
Truth.
Thank you.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Don't play the French horn, and you can laugh if you want, but, you know...
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We do an awful lot of talking around here about backstage passes, and if you're watching Phil Hendry, Phil TV in HD, I'm holding up my iPhone, and there you see, very beautifully, our mobile picture. So you can take the Phil Hendry Show mobile with you wherever you go. There's a lot of people ask, well, what station are you on, Phil? Well, where are we not when you have us with you? On your iPhone, on your Droid, on whatever mobile device you have, or your desktop, you have the Phil Hendry Show on demand. You have the Phil Hendry Show live. You got the Phil Hendry Show. You have all of our archives right there at the drop of your hand, or your hat, or your phone. Don't drop your phone, though.
Yeah, don't drop the phone. It's going to get busted.
Yeah, the phone will get busted. But we are there within arm's reach, no matter what your device, the Phil Hendry Show is available. So get a backstage pass. It enables you not only to listen and to watch our show live every day, it also lets you listen to the thousands and thousands of hours of archives. Let's turn that fan off, bud, because I'm sure it sounds like a freaking wind tunnel, okay?
Yeah, it's hot in here.
It ain't that hot, okay? It's almost summertime. And there's just no, we're at the El Pacifico. There is no heat at the El Pacifico. Is no heat at the El Pacifico. Remember that?
Repeat after Phil.
Here's no heat at El Pacifico.
Exactly. Now, get a backstage pass, $9.99 for 1 month, and we're doing a customer appreciation month. It is May, so customer appreciation month means free downloads for those of you who are signing up new business. And we've got some new business. So if you sign up for new business, we also have our affiliate program, which means if you are a current backstage pass holder and you bring in new subscribers, then you get some sweet deals as well. So it's there at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Get the backstage pass, and then you'll have more audio content, more audio comedy from one of the best radio shows, we think, in the history of the world, the Phil Hendry Show.
Very good.
Thank you, Margaret. All right, Jeff Dowder has been on the line with us here as we talk about Slayer and the passing of Jeff Hanneman, the guitarist. I want to move past, Jeff, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm right here, and I want people to, well, it's kind of stupid, and they know it's not. I just want everybody to know that my name is Jeff, too, but it's got nothing to do with Jeff Hanneman. That's all I want everybody to know about.
Right. I don't know how they would confuse anything.
Well, I just, my girlfriend said, your name's Jeff Dowder. Do you think people will think, and I know it sounds a little silly, but she was worried, given the relative intelligence level of talk radio listeners. I'm not trying to put them down, Mr. Hendry, necessarily, but I think it's been proved probably effectively that people who listen to talk radio are not even as intelligent as people that listen, let's say, to metal. I mean, I think it's been proved.
Well, I don't know where that's been proved. You know.
Well, where's it been proved? Let me see. How's the government doing? How's the country doing? Oh, thanks. So,
well, that doesn't necessarily, but what are you throwing that all on talk radio listeners?
Well, I'm saying that people that listen to music or listen to talk radio, they ain't doing too swift.
Okay, so now that we've put them down, what's your point?
Well, I'm not trying to put anybody down, but I'm just saying that I don't want anybody confusing me with Jeff Hanneman.
No, I think you're alive.
I know I'm alive, Mr. Hendry. I'm not trying to be silly about it.
Well, then what are you trying to say, Jeff? I'm listening to you here. And I'm having a very difficult time, too. You're saying...
What I'm saying is, I just want people to don't think I'm being disrespectful on account of Mr. Hanneman.
No one thinks you're disrespectful because you're using your own name.
Are the Four Tenors, are they Irish?
Will you forget about what the Four Tenors are?
Because I think they're on TV right now.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, you two are going to push me to a point where I'm going to have to commit a crime. And that crime?
Murder!
Thank you. So...
I'm sorry. So, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about your friend Greasy Costello, who was the French horn player.
Well, I mean, he was a bass player. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. You know, yeah, he was, yeah. You know, yeah. He did play the French horn.
What, Margaret?
Well, I, if you're going to talk like that...
Talk like what? I didn't go... I said I was... What?
Margaret, let's just not... Part of the problem we have on the show, when you bring this stuff up, we get sidetracked.
I'm not getting sidetracked when I speak for thousands of mothers out there who don't want their children listening to a man going...
You know, Ms. Gray, I have to tell you, I turned on Phil TV in HD just a moment ago, and you know what? You look like Mr. Ed when you done did that.
Well, isn't that too bad? You know something? I'm a performer. I give it my all. And when I'm trying to get the message across to people, what do you mean, Mr. Ed? So in other words, I've got the big horse teeth.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You got a lot of guts for being on the other end of a phone.
Yeah, well, you know. Call me, you know.
All right, thank you. Let's take a break and let's just be done. Thank you very much, Jeff.
All right, so she gets the last word, huh?
No, I think you just did. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more on Slayer and other stories, the exploding limousine, and, you know, the sex bug from Hawaii. Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, God.
You do look like Mr. Ed.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So enough about... rest in peace, Jeff Hanneman, but having Doubter talking about it.
Well, and the other thing that I would like to talk about at some point, I know you don't want me to talk... Well, I won't...
You're not supposed to talk about it on air.
I'll tell her what you... What do you want to talk about, Margaret?
I didn't like the whole comment by this one here. You look like Mr. Ed.
I didn't say that.
He didn't say it. Jeff Doubter did.
Oh, it was Doubter. You're right. I would like to talk to someone. Who do I talk to about that?
Margaret, there's no one to talk to.
I beg your pardon?
Margaret, there's no one to talk to. The guy's going to say what the guy's going to say. All right?
Well, what does that mean? All I do is sit here fielding these insults from people that are far below my intellectual level. Now, you know I'm not a snob, but when I'm talking to someone like that, and he says that I look like Mr. Ed. He was the one that was going, ee-ee-ee-ee.
Yeah, but you do look a little bit like the Ed.
Come here for a minute.
No.
Really, I want to show you something. It's a diamond.
Really? Ow!
What an idiot.
Margaret.
You said it was a diamond. It's glass.
That's right. Well, Phil, what are you laughing at?
All right, I'm sorry.
Why?
Never mind.
No, I think you should tell the audience.
Oh, come on. You're not going to do that to me. You're not going to do that.
I didn't say anything.
No, but when you say stuff like that, then the audience knows I'm holding back or I got to say something.
What do you got to say?
Well, you're the one that brought it up.
I didn't bring up anything. You said to Bud, hey, Bud, it's a diamond. Then you smacked him and it was really a piece of busted glass.
And where did I get that idea?
Come on, is that something you did?
Thanks a lot, Margaret.
Phil, if you want to play hardball, this is hardball, okay? This is the big leagues.
Margaret.
No, hold on for just a minute. This here's the big leagues. You like to see this here? You like it when Bill Graham said it like that in Bugsy? This is the big leagues, Phil. You either swing for the fences or sit your you-know-what down on the pines, ride the pines, and take a splinter somewhere very, very private.
Whatever that means.
Well, I'll tell you what it means. You've got a story to tell.
And why? I'll tell the story, but I want to know, why did you do that? Why do you want me to tell that story?
Because I think sometimes you come off like you're holier than thou.
I'm not coming off like that. You're the one that smacked him.
I had to smack him because you didn't. He's talking the way he's talking, and he said it again about the Mr. Ed.
What's he talking about?
When I was a kid, we had a lady in our town in Arcadia. Her name was Ani. Ani was not, she was a very elderly lady, and she was disabled mentally. She was developmentally disabled mentally. Ani would be in the downtown area of Arcadia on Baldwin Avenue. That's where we had all the department stores and everything. And I found some broken glass one day. I was a stupid kid. I was very insensitive, and I picked it up, and I held it in my hand, and I walked over to her, and I said, look, Ani, diamonds.
Yeah.
She thought that they were diamonds.
What a cruel child you must have been.
No, Margaret, no, I wasn't. I was actually a really good kid. You know, I think I did that just to get everybody else laughing, and it was very cruel. And I've remembered it all my life, and I was felt bad about doing it.
That the same thing like when you took that shovel to that mouse?
Oh, my God, man. What is it with you guys?
Well, you did do that.
I didn't take a shovel to a mouse. I did not take a shovel to a mouse. My dad wanted me to kill it, okay? And I didn't. I let it go.
Well,
I let it go. When I was a little kid, are we going to start digging? If I got to tell all the stories from my childhood, you guys are going to start digging some up. You understand?
Well, if I can think of any.
Yeah, I've never done nothing bad.
You've never done nothing bad, huh? You know, I've done a lot of bad things.
I know.
Yeah, one of them may be actually in my future, like belting you so hard you lose all your teeth. That's another bad thing that I may do.
God.
Yeah. I found a mouse in the backyard. It was a field mouse. I walked in and I showed it to my dad because I thought it was really cool. And my dad said, get rid of it. Kill it. And I don't know why he told me to kill it, but I didn't. And I felt like I disobeyed my father, but I didn't kill it. I just let it go.
Well, why would your father say that?
Because my dad came from a generation of people that lived with rats. They lived with vermin. They, you know, my father was poor. And when he saw something like that, it didn't represent nature to him. He wasn't thinking, oh, isn't that marvelous? He was thinking, that's vermin. It's in my home. My child has it. Kill it. But he didn't exactly take it from me and kill it himself. He said, get rid of it, kill it. And I just took it out back and I... Oh, God.
Well, why is that causing you all of these delayed reactions? There's a lot of psychological... You see that?
Yeah, I am. I'm noticing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all psychological and everything.
It's reminding me of periods of my life I don't want to think about, okay?
What was going on during that time, Phil?
What is this all of a sudden, man? Are we doing some kind of head-shrinking contest here? It's none of your business.
Yeah, but it's bringing up a lot of feelings of the subconscious.
Thank you, Dr. Freud.
No, it's Freud.
Yeah, that's what I told you. I don't know. It was a time when my parents were breaking up. It was a tough time, okay? God.
Well, look at your eyes casting around the room. I think this is fascinating. What else?
No, not what else. The mouse and the Ani, look at its diamonds. The mouse, I feel good about.
Yes, but you disobeyed your father.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I don't know. I think I was worried that the mouse would come back, you know?
What do you mean the mouse would come back?
Yeah, what, is it like a monster?
No, it wasn't a monster. It was the fact that the mouse, if my dad saw it, you're a kid. What do you, you know, you think all parents are geniuses. And you think that parents will know everything that you did wrong. So my dad said, get rid of the mouse. And he goes out back one day and he sees that mouse.
Well, what, was it wearing something distinctive, like a bowler hat?
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good one. No, it wasn't. It was just a regular mouse, but...
Well, why the shovel?
My father wanted me to hit it with a shovel, kill it, like that. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. So, good thing he didn't check on it. Jesus, you know, can you imagine? At least my dad wasn't that kind of a sadistic piece of garbage. You imagine some father that would tell a kid, kill that animal and I want to see you do it? I mean, unless it was something really dangerous, you know. But I didn't, you know.
Well, you sure aren't no big game hunter.
Yeah, no kidding about that, man.
No, I'm not a big game hunter. No, I'm not. I don't hunt. I don't put down people that do hunt, but I don't hunt. You know, and that's just where that's at. Does it mean I can't kill something? Don't try me.
God, all it said was about a mouse.
Yeah, well, just don't push it. So thank you very much, Margaret.
Well, I think it was cathartic because I can see you were on the verge of tears there, and I think if I'd pushed you a little bit, you would have broken down like a bitch. And you know what I mean. I don't mean anything offensive by that.
Oh, no, not at all. No, no, I just, you know, yeah, that mouse and, I have memories. I worked at an animal hospital once. And I'm not going to get into specifics, but I've got a couple of memories that just bug me. And, everybody believes to be in being kind to animals. I think if anybody is cruel to an animal, I think we all, you know, it's one thing to be cruel to a human being. As crazy as this sounds, even if you hear of a human that is cruel to a child, to a baby, well, I shouldn't say this. I think we all want to kill that son of a bitch. I don't think there's any problems there. But it's even almost, it's almost intensified when you hear about somebody abusing an animal. Maybe it's because we know that animals are never, ever, ever really going to get it. A human grows up and becomes an adult and can deal at some point with the things that he or she has been through. An animal is never going to be able to, but then an animal is never really going to experience things the way a human does. So I think probably in our way, we anthropomorphize. That is, we give human traits to animals when we shouldn't.
Yeah, that's kind of what the dog whisperer said.
Yeah, the dog whisperer said all that.
Yeah, the dog whisperer. I like the dog whisperer.
Well, you know our friend Rudy, he's done a lot of dog training and animal training, cat training. You know he has the cat bucket.
The cat bucket?
What's that?
He's a cat wrangler. You didn't know that Rudy was a cat wrangler?
Not Rudy Canoza.
No, my friend Rudy.
Is a cat wrangler.
Yeah, what are you looking at?
When you talk about a cat wrangler, the only thing you can wrangle is like not a moose.
You mean a horse?
Yeah.
No, you can wrangle cats.
You can wrangle cats. All right.
You can wrangle cats. I can see the look on your face. All I'm trying to tell you is that he was a cat wrangler, and he said that cats, well, I forget. We were talking about dogs, and he brought up cats. As a matter of fact, we were talking about dogs. He brought up cats, and no one paid any attention to him. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen if you're talking about dogs and a guy brings up cats. A cat wrangler.
Yes.
I saw people wrangling a cat once. It was on a TV show I did.
Well, what were they doing?
They needed a cat for a scene. So I was watching. There was two women, and they brought these cats in, and they needed the cat to do the same thing over and over again, basically, because they were rehearsing the scene, and then they were shooting it, and then they had to shoot the scene again. And I was able to watch this because the only people involved were two actors and this cat. And the cat, I saw these, the women that brought these cats in, they came in with about, I don't know, three or four cats. And these cats were so chilled out, I mean chilled out, that they were like, you know how cats do that thing with their paws when they're really comfortable?
Yes.
Well, this cat, she was holding this cat up, talking to this cat. And he was doing that thing with his paws in midair, like he was just all happy as can be. Anyway, the cat in the scene was picked up and then put down by the actor, and then it runs away. And that was the scene for the cat.
Were there any lines?
It's a cat!
For the humans, you...
Yeah, Mr. Henry, the humans!
Boy, is there something wrong with you? I mean, really wrong with you?
No. So, the cat was supposed to run away in fear. The only thing wrong with this whole scene was I remember the cat would run away, but with his tail up in the air. You know how cats are when they're happy?
Yeah, to get that tail sticking up.
Right. This cat was running away. He was supposed to be afraid, and he would run away with his little tail up every scene.
Did you bring it up to the director?
No, I did not. I didn't say keep... What are you talking about? No, of course I didn't.
I would have.
Yeah, I know you would have, but no, I did not. So when I think of animals, cats, dogs, whatever, I think with great kindness. I think of animals only with the best of intentions. I would never harm an animal, period. I don't give a damn if my father was raised in the Depression and there were rats everywhere. And yes, there were. I mean, I couldn't do it. And that's why. And I guess Like I said, I was afraid he might find out. All right, so now that we've gotten that crap out of the way,
God,
we'll get back to the other interesting stories here. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. May, Customer Appreciation Month. Get a Backstage Pass and more free downloads with your Backstage Pass at philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I guess you want me to tell that story too, huh?
Yes, I think it's necessary, Phil. But I want to get on the line here, Dr. Sadler, if we could. And to that end, I hope you don't mind, but I have had...
Yeah, I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all.
We do have Dr. Jim Sadler. He's in San Diego at the... It's not the Comic-Con, Dr. Sadler. What is it?
Well, it's a different Comic-Con. We're in San Diego here at the Convention Center. It's more of a drama con. It's a pictures, books with pictures con. It's not all about comics. It's about books that have pictures in them. For those of us who enjoy that, and I think that there's been Phil and Margaret. There's been a controversy over the years. How many pictures should you put in a book? I like a lot of pictures in a book because I have a very difficult time staying interested in the content.
Why don't you read a different kind of book?
It doesn't seem to matter. And I don't even know really what you mean by that.
Well, you're a doctor of psychology, correct?
Yes, I am.
You've had to read books.
Oh, I had to read books for my degree, but I didn't read whole books. I got cliff notes. I had people read them to me. At the time, I had a girlfriend who would read to me at dinner, or just read to me when I got scared, and most of it was...
Wait, hold on for a minute. Read to you when you got scared?
Yes, read to me when I got scared. It happens. All right, so please don't pretend like it... Mr. Henry, please don't pretend like you've never had a woman read to you when you got scared.
No, never.
Well...
Never. Never.
How about your mother when you were a little kid?
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Don't mess with the big J. Don't mess with J-S. Don't mess with double J, double S. Don't...
All right, I get your point, Dr. Sadler. Was it some kind of a trick question? I'm saying, as an adult man, I've never had an adult woman read to me to make me less scared.
All right, but that wasn't my question. I said, have you ever had a woman read to you when you were scared? You said no, and I found out that your mother did. When you was little, and then I went,
Yeah, then it was burned on me, and you got 3 points from the top of the key.
Right at the buzzer, at the top of the circle, not the key.
All right, so Dr. Jim Sadler is with us, and we're talking here about another episode in my life, and this has to do with, I forget.
Well, you were discussing Casey.
Oh, Casey the dog, that's right.
All right, now Casey was what dog?
This was a dog we had when I was married. And this dog was a little mutt from a rescue center, and the dog was a snappy, you know, biting dog. She was very protective of the females in the house and would bite the men. Myself, Chris, Alex, Nick, we were the object of Casey's snarling and biting. All four of us got bit at one time or another, and my wife and Catherine, Marie and Catherine, they were fine.
All right, and this you said, Phil, this ceased at the time, right?
I'm sorry?
Didn't you say that at the time it ceased?
Is it at a time?
Oh, at a time?
I don't stutter, just if you want to...
I know you don't stutter. I'm having a hard time understanding people tonight for some reason.
Well...
You're talking weird, and...
No, I'm not talking... You're hearing weird.
It's the way you're hearing, Phil.
Okay. So, in other words, so what do you want to ask me?
I'm asking you about this dog, for Jesus.
All right, so Casey the dog. Well, I thought you wanted to be on the show.
I do, but I want to get to the point.
All right, Casey the dog.
We got this dog. This dog would bite and snap and snarl. One day, Casey got a hold of some medicine that was dropped on the floor by mistake. Because she was a little terrier, whatever breed she was, she ate stuff. She would see stuff and eat it.
Yeah, a lot of small dogs are bred that way. Keep a house clean or something. I went into a closed room here, Phil, because it was so noisy where I was. A lot of dogs will try to eat whatever they see to keep the, because they were raised to keep the house clean, you know?
What do you mean raised to keep a house clean?
Just what I said, they're bred to keep the house clean.
But, what, you gonna like vacuum?
No, I didn't say vacuum, did I, brains? I said...
All right, no need to insult.
Well, what does he mean, vacuum?
You said they're going to clean a house.
I didn't say they're taking out an ad and going to work for Molly Maids. What a jackball. I said, if I may finish...
Go ahead.
That they, you know, lick the floor and all that kind of thing.
Talk about it like I lick the floor up.
Yeah, they lick the floor up. I'm not saying they're going into the bathroom and doing the sink.
You sounded pretty weird there, Dr. Sandler.
What do you mean?
You go, hee-hee?
Well, bud, I was just trying to sound like you. That's the way you sound every time you... You know what?
No.
Would you guys please stop so that... And why am I hearing the sound of a river?
I thought I'd take a step outside and smoke a cigar near a running river. Forget it.
Phil, you're pissing people off tonight.
Yeah. Anyway, Dr. Sandler, sorry, sir. I can understand how you'd want to go out and smoke a cigar near a raging river. I didn't know you had one running by the convention center there in San Diego, but that's great. And what was he doing?
He's at the expo for books with big... It's a convention for people who like books that have a lot of pictures in them.
Well, that sounds to me... You talk about a mental midget convention. That's what that sounds like.
Why is that?
What do you mean, books with pictures in them? What does that mean?
It means, Phil, there's some people that cannot read. I don't think it's so unusual to enjoy lots of pictures in a book.
I like pictures. I do.
All right, then you understand a convention like this.
No, I do not understand a convention like that. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next hour with more of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Dr. Sandler. I'm sorry you felt like you needed to hang up on me. More on the exploding, more on this exploding limousine, and three girls who were abducted years ago are found. And the hero? A neighbor who decided to be a busybody for the right reasons. That coming up next hour on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Not bad, but I'm trying to get something said, and you're laughing about me.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Yeah, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Now, before we get into anything really heavy, the heaviest of heavy, do we want to...
I think it's important. Jane Levy, she's with a show called Suburgatory. She plays the wisecracking teen... Tessa Altman on the CB on the ABC. Is it ABC or is it CBA? Not CBA, CB what?
CBS.
CBS. This is ABC, Suburgatory. She filed for divorce on April the 16th from actor Jamie Freitas. All right, fine. However, she'd only been married 7 months and no one knew that she'd been married. So isn't that, you know...
Isn't it what?
What do you mean, isn't it what? That's sexy. That, to me, I don't like to see it, and I like to chew, you know, personal tragedy. But?
So what? I mean, actors are getting divorced and married as often as regular people.
That's insulting to the average person.
Yeah, you gotta watch what you say.
No, I don't have to watch what I say. People get married and get divorced as much as actors and actresses do.
I don't think there's any. There may be a higher rate of divorce among actors and actresses if for no other reason than they are desirable people. So they can find probably, you know, and not that these matches work out, but they can probably find a mate faster than the average person and be, you know, unhappier than the average person as a result of it. But the fact is, I don't see that the Mr. and Mrs. America are doing much better when it comes to marriage. So why we obsess over the, well...
Well, we obsess over the marriages and divorces of celebrities because, just as you said, Phil, they are attractive people. We want to know what they're doing. I imagine this Jane Levy or Jane Levy, and I applaud her courage, by the way. Very good, Jane.
Courage? What do you mean, courage?
She's obviously Jewish.
You're whispering it.
Don't whisper. She's obviously Jewish.
Why did you say it that...
So she's Jewish.
Well, and I applaud her courage for keeping the last name, which just screams...
Jew?
I didn't say that, Phil.
No, you let me say it. You let me say it. That's how those things are done, folks, you know? You kind of go, which just screams, and then you don't say it, and the other person says it, and you can say, well, they said it, I didn't.
You know, when you start waving your arms around like that, you look like a baboon. You really... I'm serious, Phil. Frank and I took Jason J. Delmonico to the Baboon Expo.
Uh-huh.
What are you laughing at?
Just say what it is you want to say and forget about me laughing.
We took Jason J. Delmonico to the Baboon Expo.
That's all she's going to say.
Yes.
And I remind you of what you saw there?
A little bit.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Margaret, for that report.
Yeah, you know what he really means by that, folks? Stick that...
I didn't say those words.
No, but that's about what you're thinking. Thank you very much, Margaret, for that report. In other words, stick that report right up your can.
I'm having a good time.
Well, I can tell.
Yeah. All right, so thank you very much for that report. And no, I don't mean stick that report up your can, Margaret. I just mean, you know, we got to move on here, okay? Let's just move on. A CNN anchor was robbed of her iPhone. Oh, CNN anchor woman was the victim of a brazen daylight robbery in Atlanta last week. Carol Costello, the news anchor for the 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. segment of CNN Newsroom, revealed this weekend that she'd been robbed on Thursday. She claims that she was walking down a beautiful leafy Atlanta street while talking on her iPhone. Little did she know that that leafy street was in Sector 1. Oh.
Well, what is Sector 1? Are you saying a high crime area?
I don't know. I think it was. I did a ride along once with the Atlanta PD in the worst part of town. I think it was Sector 1. Or maybe Segment 1.
Maybe Section 1.
Section 1.
Well, like set 1.
Yeah. According to a WSB-TV report on the incident, Costello was walking in the 1100 block, well, here you go, of Piedmont Avenue.
Is that a toilet?
No. Piedmont Avenue is not a toilet. It borders Piedmont Park, and it's a very nice part of the midtown area of Atlanta. Costello gave the police a description of the iPhone thief. The anchor vented about the event on her Facebook page when she wrote, two dirty N-words. No, she didn't.
How dare you?
I'm kidding. She said she was angry. She didn't say anything about N-words.
You sure about that?
Yes, I'm sure. I made it up.
A hell of a thing for you to joke about, Phil.
Well, I'm joking about it, all right?
You sure?
Yes! Here, there. See?
Well, she wrote, she was angry. Okay.
Carol Costello. God!
Well, you said she said N-words. She could sue you.
She cannot sue me. No, she cannot sue me because I said I was kidding. He cannot, if I said this is what she said and I used the N-word, she could sue me, yeah, for libel. But I didn't say that. I said I was kidding. Carol Costello, anyway, she does the early morning Hi Atlanta or Drop Dead America, whatever the hell they call it, good morning. In retrospect, what happened to me yesterday, she said, is insignificant in light of what happened in the Boston. Huh? Still, I feel the need to vent. And isn't that what friends are for? Question mark. I was robbed and I am angry. I was walking down a beautiful leafy Atlanta street talking on my iPhone. Guess what happened next? You got it. A squirrel jumped me and grabbed... She didn't say that.
Let me see.
No, you don't get to see. I said I'm joking.
Are you going to get to the point in this story or not?
I got to the point. She got ripped off. What do you want me to say?
God, Miss Cindy, all I got to the point.
Yeah, he sounds kind of like a girl.
So I sounded like a girl. I got to the point, okay? She got robbed. What do you want me to tell you?
Well, what do you mean she got mugged by a squirrel?
I'm kidding.
Oh.
Yeah, she's walking down a leafy street.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
If you're walking down a leafy street, does that mean there's trees?
Yes. Oh, I see.
Yeah, so there's branches hanging over the... I was walking down a beautiful leafy Atlanta street, talking on my iPhone.
When I was jumped by a chipmunk.
No, that's not as funny what Phil said.
No, it isn't as funny as what I said. I was walking down a beautiful leafy... Would you just let me finish this? Atlanta street, talking on my iPhone. Guess what happened next? Three teenagers ran up behind me. One of them grabbed my iPhone. The other squeezed my ass. Stupid...
You're lying again.
Give me that! I was walking down a beautiful leafy Atlanta street, talking on my iPhone. Guess what happened next? Three teenagers ran up behind me, grabbed my iPhone. Stupidly, I struggled to hold on to it. That's when they pulled out the .38, pressed it to my temple, and blew my brains out. No, she didn't say that.
I know she didn't say that, because she's doing the Twitter.
Yeah.
What are you rolling your eyes at?
Just let me finish. Stupidly, I struggled to hold on to it. Yeah, see, you know, why do I think this is horse dung?
I don't know. Why?
Well, you know, you're tweeting about this or writing about it on the Facebook page or whatever, and you got to make yourself sound really heroic. So, stupidly, I struggled. Meaning, in other words, don't do what I do. Do what police recommend, which is just to give up the bag. But I can't do that because I happen to be a TV anchor, and I have to show... like superhuman behavior, so I decide that I'll say I held onto it, yes, stupidly. But he was a big guy. Notice how she left out black.
Oh, come on, Mr. Henry. I don't know.
You don't know that that was the case.
I just think that, you know, when news anchors start going to the Facebook page about stuff that happens like they're the story, things start...
You just don't like this Carol Costello because she called herself a cougar once.
Yes, she did.
And you don't think that she rates?
No, I didn't say that. I said I thought it was rather weird of her when she was doing a story on cougars, okay, meaning really hot-looking older women, that she put herself into that category. Well, you know, I'm a cougar, and she did it with a straight face. So...
Well, what's wrong with that, Phil?
You're not supposed to make yourself part of the story. That's what I thought, anyway. Let me finish this, then we have to take a break. Three teenagers ran up. One of them grabbed my iPhone. Stupidly, I struggled. He was a big guy. He pulled out a chunk my hair. I let go. As he ran down the street laughing, I hurled a few expletives his way. Ah, yes. Like the N-word, and you dirty No, she didn't say that. I'm kidding. All right, we'll take a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we'll be right back with more on the big story of the night, the discovery of those three teenage girls, or those three formerly teenage girls, in Cleveland. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Three missing women found in Ohio, three brothers arrested. Three women who went missing separately about a decade ago were found Monday in a home just south of downtown Cleveland and likely had been tied up during their years of activity, according to police, who arrested three brothers. One of the women said she'd been abducted and told a 911 dispatcher in a frantic call, "I'm free now." Crowds gathered Monday night on the street near the home where the city's police chief said he thought Amanda Berry, Gina DeJesus, and Michelle Knight had been held since they went missing when they were in their teens or early 20s. The women appeared to be in good health and were taken to a hospital to be evaluated and to reunite with relatives. Police said a six-year-old also was found in the home, but the child's identity or relationship to anyone in the home was not revealed. Now, a neighbor, Charles Ramsey, told WEWS-TV he heard screaming Monday and saw Barry, whom he didn't recognize, at the door, that would open only enough to fit a hand through. He said he was, this was the front door, by the way, I think. He said he was trying to desperately to get out, or excuse me, he said she was trying desperately to get outside and pled for help, for him to either help or to reach the police. I heard screaming, he said. I'm eating my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts trying to get out of a house. On a recorded 911 call on Monday, Barry declared, I'm Amanda Barry. I've been on the news for the last 10 years. She said she'd been taken by someone and begged for police officers to arrive at the home on Cleveland's west side before he returned. I've been kidnapped and I've been missing for 10 years, she told the dispatcher. I'm here. I'm free now. Wow, what a dramatic thing. Barry disappeared at the age of 16 on April the 21st, 2003, when she called her sister to say she was getting a ride home from her job at a Burger King. DeJesus went missing at age 14 on her way home from school about a year later. About a year after this lady. So that would have been 2004. They were found just a few miles from where they'd gone missing. Police said Knight went missing in 2002. She's 32 years of age now. They didn't provide current ages for Barry or DeJesus. Police said one of the brothers, a 52-year-old, lived at the home, and the others, aged 50 and 54, lived elsewhere. Authorities released no names and gave no details about them or what charges they might face. Ramsey, the neighbor, said he'd barbecued with the home's owner and never suspected something was amiss. There was nothing exciting about him. Well, until today, he said. Julio Castro, who runs a grocery store half a block from where the women were found, said the homeowner arrested is his nephew, Ariel Castro. Ms. Barry, also identified Ariel Castro by name in her 911 call. Attempts to reach Ariel Castro in jail were unsuccessful on Monday. Messages to the sheriff's office and to a jail spokeswoman went unanswered. There was no public phone listing for the home, which was being searched by dozens of police officers and sheriff's deputies. The uncle said Ariel Castro had worked as a school bus driver. Well, ain't that convenient. The Cleveland School District confirmed he was a former employee but wouldn't release details. The women's loved ones said...
You sneezed.
But the reason why I turned the microphone down is so people won't hear me sneeze, so that they won't know that I sneeze, so that we don't have to mention that I sneezed, and we can just keep on talking. So for me to turn the mic down and sneeze, and then you go, you sneezed.
Well, you did.
Well, we don't have to tell everybody out there about it, do we?
Well, Phil, it's not like you farted.
It's not about farting. It's about just, you know, not having to detract from what it is I'm trying to, which you guys have done.
That's right. It's always our fault.
Yeah, start taking response. What's that on my foot?
I don't know.
Man, there's something on my foot.
Yeah, what is it?
I don't know.
Why don't you look at your foot and see what it is?
Oh, it's nothing.
Was it on your foot or was it?
It's on my foot. It felt wet.
Yeah, I know what that was.
What?
Well, I don't know what it was, but if there was a dog down there, I'd say it was a tongue.
There ain't no dog down there.
Are you looking at your foot right now?
No.
Look at your foot!
What about it?
Didn't you just tell me something was licking it?
No, I said there was something on my foot.
What is it?
It's my shoe.
Well, what are you getting upset about?
You guys are so stupid, it's breaking record after record. It's my shoe.
Yeah, but it's wet and it feels like a tongue.
Well, maybe you ought to buy some new shoes.
Yeah.
It's wet and it feels like a tongue. Attempts to reach Ariel Castro and I thought I already did that part.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, great. Why don't you help him with his foot? A childhood friend of DeJesus, Kayla Rogers, says she couldn't wait to hug her friend. I've been praying, never forgot about her ever, Rogers told the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Barry's cousin, Tashina Mitchell, told the newspaper she couldn't wait to have Barry in her arms. I'm going to hold her and I'm going to squeeze her and I probably won't let her go, she said. Barry's mother, Luana Miller, who'd been hospitalized for months with pancreatitis and other ailments, died in March 2006. She had spent the previous 3 years looking for her daughter, whose disappearance took a toll as her health steadily deteriorated. You know, I tell you, these scumbags that took these girls, they had to be charged with that woman's murder. Which I know won't happen, because then you got to prove that that's what it was. I get it. You know, just you know deep in your heart that's what contributed to that poor woman's death. Councilwoman Donna Brady said she'd spent many hours with Miller, who never gave up hope that her daughter was alive. She literally died of a broken heart. Mayor Frank Jackson expressed gratitude that the three women were found alive. He said there were many unanswered questions in the ongoing investigation. At Metro Health Medical Center, Dr. Gerald Maloney wouldn't discuss the women's conditions in detail, but said that they were being evaluated by appropriate specialists. This is really good because this isn't the ending we usually hear in these stories, he said, so we're happy. In January, a prison inmate was sentenced to 4.5 years after admitting he provided a false burial tip in the disappearance of Barry. A judge in Cleveland sentenced Robert Wolford on his guilty plea to obstruction of justice, making a false report and making a false alarm. Last summer, Wolford tipped authorities to look for LaWanda Berry, who has been quoted throughout this article, so she's still very much alive, but this guy tipped authorities to look for Berry's remains in a Cleveland lot. He was taken to the location, which was dug with backhoes. Two men arrested for questioning in the disappearance of DeJesus in 2004 were released from the city jail in 2006 after officers didn't find her body during a search of the men's house. One of the men was transferred to Cuyahoga County Jail on unrelated charges, while the other was allowed to go free. In 2006, police acting on a tip tore up the concrete floor of the garage and used a cadaver dog to search unsuccessfully for DeJesus' body, and that was these two guys, I think. Investigators confiscated 19 pieces of evidence during their search, but declined to comment. No Amber Alert was issued the day DeJesus failed to return home from school because no one witnessed the abduction. The lack of an Amber Alert angered her father, Felix DeJesus, who said in 2006 he believed the public will listen even if the alerts become routine. The Amber Alert should work for any missing child. It doesn't have to be an abduction. Whether it's an abduction or a runaway, a child needs to be found. We need to change the law. Cleveland police said then that the alerts must be reversed for cases in which danger is imminent and the public can be of help in locating the child. There's the story. So these three women and these guys that abducted them are brothers. One of them lives there and the other two live somewhere else. So I don't know whether this was some weird, really weird, perverted game that these three brothers were playing. No doubt. But, you know, here's the thing. This story, we don't know yet. We don't know the facts. So don't be shocked if stuff comes out that totally turns it on its head. You know, I mean, we always want to, we read stuff into these stories as soon as they come out. We make everything the way we want it to be in our minds. Oh, these people were abducted.
Yeah, what do you think it is?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, it probably is exactly the way we're thinking it is. These women were abducted, and these three perverts had them and had their way with them and tortured them, and it's only by a miracle and the grace of God that they got out. Now, that's the way it looks, and that's the way it appears to be. I'm just saying, don't be surprised if it's something else.
Well, what else could it be, Phil? Did they willingly participate in their abductions?
No, I'm not saying that either. But, you know, there is a Stockholm Syndrome thing.
Yeah, the Stockholm Syndrome, but they're the ones that call the cops.
Yeah, they call the cops. Don't you get it?
I get it, man. But I just don't know. These stories are always so weird. I mean, Stockholm Syndrome, and now we've got these people that are turning up having been living with their abductors for years and years and years, having parented children with them. Man, this is some way out stuff, so I don't know until I get more information. Back with the exploding limousine. Boy, is that gruesome. And other news here on... And you know what? I want to finish up this Limbaugh story.
Oh, God, not him.
Yes, him, in a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. For a minute, can't you?
I don't know, Mr. Hall. Yeah, he wants...
Yeah, David.
You understand what you're doing. You're trying to foment a riot on my watch, and I can't have it.
I didn't say I'm fomenting a riot. Did I? How was I fomenting a riot?
You were predicting the... Are we on the air?
Yes.
Oh, baby. Oh.
Come on, you know that you're calling me in the middle of my show.
Lord. Oh, Lord.
Will you knock it off with your whatever the guy's name is?
John Houston.
John Houston impression. I said to Dan that we're reaching a point in this society.
You said to Dan that there's going to be a lynching. You used that word, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Why?
Because I said we're reaching a point in this society where these crimes that are being committed are so heinous, they're coming one on top of the other, that we don't have a chance to catch our breath. We don't have a chance to understand how to explain it to kids. We don't have a chance. We still can't agree on how to stop them from happening. And there's a pressure point that's building. And I hope I'm wrong, you know.
Oh, well, do you think that is going to absolve you of the responsibility? You just said something that if people act on that, and I'm not, and this is where people always misunderstand me. If people act on what you just said, yes, we would get a ratings bounce. But I don't want to talk about that. I simply want to say that.
Oh, you don't want to talk about that.
See, David, that is irresponsible of you.
What?
You're bringing up Phil saying that because you're hoping it happens.
Did I say that?
Yes, we'll get a ratings bounce.
Well, we can't. We couldn't. Hold on, baby. Will you just don't talk to me? I'm on the radio right now. Don't get. I got, Cynthia's with me tonight. You know, the young lady that I.
Yeah, your fiancée whose name changes every time you're on the air with me?
What?
Whose name changes.
She's got a couple of nicknames.
Last week it was Gabby, and the week before.
No, it was. Last week it was Haley, and it was Gabby the week before. They're her nicknames.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. Baby, I don't want... Get off my neck. She's kissing my neck. Look, what I'm trying to say to you...
Where are you?
In a cafeteria.
Oh, that's a hot date.
We're at Perry's Boys, man. They got good... Shut up.
Perry's Boys, huh?
Or what is this? Fresh Choice? Fresh Choice. Look, what I'm trying to say to you, Phil, is this. I hope that what you're saying tonight, which is that so many terrible, vicious crimes are being committed that the public, one of these days, is going to gather outside of a jailhouse somewhere and lynch the guy they bring in for it. I hope and I pray that you are wrong. I hope and pray that if you're right, that you get credit by way of... See what I'm saying?
No, I don't. And what you're making it worse.
David, quit while you're ahead.
No, what do you mean, quit while I'm ahead? Are you listening to what I'm saying to you?
What you're telling me is the following thing. How dare you say that somebody's going to get lynched? However, we should get a ratings pop from it because you're the guy that said it.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Baby, will you quit breathing on me? All right, we'll get a milkshake. What's wrong with that?
Are you talking to me or to her?
I'm talking to you.
Well, I'm listening to you talking to your girlfriend.
She's fine. We're getting a milkshake. Hold on for a minute, will you, Phil?
Yeah, take care of that, will you?
Hold on. What do you want? They got the strawberry shakes up here. McDonald's? Yeah. She likes it when I say it like that.
What?
When I say McDonald's. All right, so you understand what I'm saying?
How old is your girlfriend, by the way?
She's 25. You don't think that I'm going out... What do you think, I'm going out with a kid?
Well, I don't know, man. I'm listening to you and I hear the voice...
You're listening to me and you hear my voice?
No, I'm hearing her voice and it sounds real squeaky.
Yeah, she's a little fire plug, I'll tell you that. Not your baby. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is this. If you are on the air and you're saying that somebody's going to get lynched, I only hope and pray, Phil, that it never happens.
But if it does, we get a ratings bounce.
No, I didn't say that. You said it.
Yeah, but it was said.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Phil. David Hall out.
Now
we're
going to
get...
If he's in that... How old is that girl?
25. All right. So that was a piece of business from the break. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. But I was saying to my good friends here, Margaret and Robert and Bud, I was saying, you know, look, and to Dan, these crimes that are being committed, these abductions, these shootings, this mayhem is so utterly... First of all, it's so utterly horrible... And it happens in such rapid succession now. These events just come one after the other. We're having a difficult time trying to deal with the horror of it, move on with our own lives, figure out how we keep these things from happening.
we get into these big fights having to do with larger issues of legality and the Constitution and law that are ongoing and have been for decades. We get at each other's throats about this stuff. I mean, it's a society that's just getting stressed out over this. And it seems like at some point, and Dan brought it up. He said, there have been people who walk into courtrooms with guns and they just go ahead and blow the guy's brains out of his head as he's sitting there at the defense table. Now, that's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing. But I would be less than honest if I didn't say that of all the acts of mayhem and violence and all of the murder and all of the assault that we read about from day to day, when that lady did that to that guy, or when someone attacks a defendant from the gallery there, from the visitors gallery, I have to say I'm not entirely unsympathetic. Let me put it that way.
Well, that was cute.
No, it's not cute. I'm just telling you, that's how I feel. All right, moving on here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't want to talk anymore about it. Just, it's,
Yeah, well, you can't really say don't.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sex Superbug may sound like a cheesy teen sex comedy from the late 1990s, but it's no laughing matter. It's, in fact, a drug-resistant strain of the STD gonorrhea that has people around the country worried. And why is that? Because everybody's engaging in the kind of behavior that gives you gonorrhea. It was reported last week. I don't grab stuff out of my hand.
I don't even know whether that's what's in there.
Because that's just me making stuff up. You'll know I made it up when I say I'm only kidding.
Then you will say you're kidding.
Yes, eventually. It was reported last week that a drug-resistant strain of gonorrhea was found in two people in Hawaii. The finding led... And by the way, they did not have sex with each other. They had both had sex with, well, I don't want to say, but not a member of the human species. I'm only kidding.
Yeah, all right.
Good. The finding led people to assume that it was the same-sex superbug that has been found to be immune to all forms of antibiotics. Fortunately, the Hawaii Health Department says the case of gonorrhea it found is different from the sex superbug strain found elsewhere. Despite it being a different strain, the emergence of a gonorrhea that's immune to medication should have people concerned, especially those of us reporting on this here from WebPro News. That's why we're telling you all about it, because our sex habits here are only one level above a sloth. I'm kidding.
Well, would you please say that you're kidding then?
I'm kidding. Despite it being a different strain, the emergence of gonorrhea that's immune to medication should have people concerned. For years, the sexually transmitted disease is on the decline thanks to antibiotics and medication. The number of infections may rise, however, as the disease has evolved immunities to the medication used to treat it. Peter Whitaker of the State Department of Health's STD AIDS Prevention Control Branch confirmed that the Hawaiian sex superbug is, in fact, not the dreaded strain that's completely immune to all drugs, but he does say that the current news helps remind people that these diseases are evolving. So, in other words, the sex superbug is not the one in Hawaii, even though the headline is entirely misleading. The one in Hawaii was immune to some antibiotics, but not all of them. The sex superbug is immune to all antibiotics. You know, antibiotics are... that means that they're dealing with a bacteria or something. It's not as bad or it's not as difficult, I think, to deal with than a virus, if I'm not mistaken, which I am. There is no multi-drug super-resistant superbug yet in Hawaii or the United States. We don't have the superbug in Hawaii that I repeat again, but I think it does raise people's consciousness that gonorrhea is out there. There are new strains that are developing and evolving, and we need to be aware of that. Let me ask you a question, and I don't want to ask you, Margaret, so I don't get anybody, but how many of you out there have stopped using a condom?
Have you?
None of anyone's business. How dare you ask me that?
Yeah, but you're the guy asking everybody a personal question.
Have I asked you guys?
Well.
No.
I'm not going to wear one, am I? Oh.
All right. I haven't asked you about Frank. And by the way, speaking of untreated gonorrhea, Frank, with that gender confusion, that guy is a walking billboard for the superbug.
Well, what does that mean? He's advertising it or he's got it?
I don't know. I don't know what he's got.
He may have the superbug, although Frank, as you know, is religiously opposed to antibiotics.
What does that mean? I don't understand that.
Why are you looking at me with a scrunched-up face? What do you mean? It means that Frank does not believe in using antibiotics, but believes in prayer. It's not Christian Science. It's Frank's Christian Science. I don't know what it's called. But...
Well, this is a good one. Wait, is it called Frank Science?
Yes, I think so. How do you know?
Because I thought I heard him talking about it. I thought that was a joke.
What's a joke about someone's religion? I don't get that.
Yeah, what is it?
Wait, Bud, why don't you shut up? What do you mean, yeah, what is that?
This guy's religion.
Frank Science.
Yeah, well, I'd call it Frank Science, not Christian Science.
So Frank took Christian Science, and it's now called Frank Science.
Yes.
And do people know that as a religion?
Frank does.
And in Frank Science, excuse me, I belched.
Yes, I noticed.
In Frank Science, does Frank, and I just want to know this, does Frank believe in the power of, you know, God?
He does not believe in the Christian Science. He believes in Frank Science, which means he believes in mind over matter, but there's no Christianity involved.
Is it monotheistic?
In other words, is there a deity? Is there a spiritual, superhuman, super...
Yeah, is there a god?
A deity.
Yes, a deity. Is there a deity?
You mean a god?
Yeah!
Don't yell.
Don't yell at me, Phil.
Is there a god in Frank Science?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that heavy into it with him.
The guy's your husband.
Yes, he's my husband, but I don't stick my nose in the door every time he's... Good Lord, do you just come waltzing in when someone's squatting on the toilet?
No, I don't.
Well, that's how I feel about religion.
Well, so anyway, Frank doesn't believe in going to a doctor? Is that what you're telling me?
Frank does believe in going to a doctor, except for certain things, like whether he's got gonorrhea or not.
He must be on some... must be... I mean, you have... Well, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. But it's out there.
Well, we can talk to him if you want. Do you want to get him on the line?
Yeah, we'll do it right after this break, okay? We'll be right back. Frank Gray to explain Frank Science when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, truth, look at you. I can see you laughing.
Bitch, the Phil Hendry Show.
Talking to Dan about it, you know. I'll be very honest. I wasn't driving. So why can't I talk about it?
Yeah, well, it's sort of irresponsible. I guess not.
If you're not driving, then it's all right.
I was not driving.
All right, what did you have?
Well, thank you, Mother.
I'm not your mother. I'm just simply trying to make sure you don't run afoul of your brand. You're Phil Hendry. You're a humorist. All right. You're this, you're that. You're a whole bunch of things. You're all that in a bag of pork rinds. But you're not God, Mr. Hendry, and remember that.
Thank you. Hey.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Wee.
Yeah, man.
You can be sarcastic if you want.
No, I'm not being sarcastic. That was fantastic. I'm not being sarcastic. That was fantastic. All right. We do have Frank Gray, and then we'll talk a little bit about how I got so blind stinking drunk. You wouldn't believe it. Frank Gray is on the line with us here from his home there in Santa Monica. Frank, we just wanted to ask you one quick question. What is Frank Science?
Oh, for God's sake, is he talking about that again?
Margaret brought it up.
Frank Science.
Frank, you said that that's your religion, based on Christian Science.
Yes, Frank Science is based on Christian Science. Mary Baker Eddy started Christian Science. Now, when he started Christian Science... My mother thought it would be a big laugh if he took the Christian Science that my mother grew up with. See, he grew up with Christian Science, my mother.
Yeah.
And so he and I would get together and laugh over this stuff, and he'd read passages. And so he said to me, Frank, you're my son, and I know you're intelligent. I hope you make up a religion one day called Frank Science so we can be done with this Mary Baker Eddy once and for all, because he may be a woman, but he's tightening my jaws as we speak. However, my mother said that to me. And, you know, he died. When did my mother die?
Your mother died in the 80s, I thought.
In the 80s or the 70s?
In the 80s.
All right. It wasn't the 70s.
No, it was not the 70s.
Just asking when he died. You don't have to give me a whole...
Well, Frank, what do you want to know?
I'm asking you when my father died.
No, you asked about your mother.
Yeah, I asked about him, but I want to know when my father died, too. When did she die?
Your father died back in the... He's the one that died in the 70s.
Oh, she died in the 70s, all right. So my mother said, make up a religion and we'll have fun with it. And I would sit and had hours of laughs with my mother, Frank Science. And when I came down with gonorrhea, I thought, well, I'll be dipped and redipped a two-bit son of a bitch, you know. And I thought, I think I'll use a little Frank Science on this, on the G word. And guess what? It almost went completely away, except my mind doesn't work very well.
That's fantastic. Congratulations, Frank. I got to get going, okay?
All right, young man.
Oh, boy, did you blow him off.
You better believe I did. I got to get going here, okay? One thing people wanted to know about this house of beers that I got whacked at. Not whacked, I mean that I got drunk at.
Whacked? That you mean as killed?
No, that I got drunk at. I went out and I went to this place called the House of Beers in Dunedin, Florida. I got hammered. I mean, I'm telling you, I haven't been that drunk. I can't remember the last time I got that soused. Honest to God. It was unbelievable. And I never get that drunk on beer. But I went to this House of Beers and Dan was asking me, what'd you drink? It was Old Speckled Hen. That's the name of the stuff.
Now, what is that?
I have no idea. It was a damn good... It was a blonde ale. Very, very good. God, I drank. I don't know how many of these I drank. I must have drank like 12 or 13 or something. I must have, because I kept just going back and ordering more and ordering more. I wasn't driving, so I didn't, you know, I was fine. But I will tell you this. When I got up to my hotel room that night, I could barely talk. I mean, I could barely talk. I remember just saying, I think I was talking like that.
So you're proud of that, aren't you? Phil, I think we've got far too many young people.
Oh, would you knock it off? I got hammered, okay? I wasn't driving. I wasn't operating heavy machinery. I wasn't, I did everything right. I paid my bill. I gave that guy, whoever owns the Dunedin House of Beer, Jack, wherever you are, sir, you can look at Phil Hendry and say, now there's a man, because he sure as hell paid a few bills for me that night. And I can't think of a more glowing thing that a guy who goes out to have a few beers could possibly do than what I did. I didn't drive. I didn't do anything irresponsible, and so on and so forth. I probably talked, you know, like an idiot. I don't know what I said. I met a couple of guys who were tech dorks, and I say, excuse me, I say that with great love in my heart, you know, whatever. But these two guys were in, I think they had a website, or they were in software design. That was it. And so we got to talking, and I probably closed the joint with these two guys just blathering about stuff, and then went back to the hotel, and I was just out of it. God! So I have to tell you, for a good time, it's Old Speckled Hen, baby.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah. See, you're giving me crap.
I'm giving you crap, but that sounds good. What else?
I don't know what else. That's all I drank. I don't like to, you know, I'm not that kind of a beer drinker. I'm not going to sit there and sample crap. I came in there to have a few drinks, as it turned out, more than a few. But I'm not going, oh, let me have now the ooh. You know, I just don't want to do that because I don't want vomit to come spraying out of my ears. It's going out of my nose, I know that, even before I get back. Out of my mouth, yes, and maybe out of, you know.
What? You're going to say?
Shut up. But out of my ears? No, thank you. World Famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft and is online at philhendryshow.com. Join us, philhendryshow.com, a great place for all of the marvelous and great things that we do on our radio show. We've got an archive second to none. We have our video cast second to none. We're just second to none, man. So we hope to see you over there real soon at philhendryshow.com. Until tonight at 10,
This is Phil Hendry saying thanks, and let that be a lesson to you. Don't forget.
Phil Hendry.